Man, I think we're getting professional at some point. Something's happening here. I want to take a moment because I didn't want to do it on Easter weekend and give some props. So you guys left out of here two Sundays ago before Easter weekend, and this entire atmosphere building that you see here, all the color that's outside and inside, you walked into almost like a brand new church. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but that took a Herculean effort by the staff and a lot of our church members that came up and helped make all this possible, from the drum cage to the wall, to bringing the people out that were going to do the screens and all of this stuff, to the painter that came out and did all the walls. And so I just want to take a moment and give honor to those that made all that possible. Would you guys give them a round of applause? So far, our reviews have been awesome, that it feels like it makes everything in here work a little bit better. So if we can use and leverage technology to deliver the message in a more effective way, then by all means, we want to do so. So for those of you that are visiting with us, we are introducing a new series today called Into the Wild. So if this is your first Sunday, you picked a great one. It's like reading a book. You started on the first chapter today. And so back in October, there were six of us that set out on a 40-mile paddle that was took a total of 5 days, and we were camping out on the river with minimalistic supplies, only MREs to eat and what we caught out of the river. And so it was a great experience. We slept in hammocks in the trees at night. We did have bug nets, which we found that there was at least one guy that was really particular. He was nicknamed Cocoon by the end of the trip because he would spend 45 minutes making sure there was no possible way that a grasshopper could get to him. And so anyway, it was an amazing trip. There was intensity, there was risk, there was bonding, there was danger. There were all kinds of things that went on this trip. And for the last 4 years to 5 years, we went out and did our own documentary, if we will, and then brought that back and gave it to you guys as a creative way of presenting some truths. And so every week, we're going to cover some material from our trip. The great thing about this particular trip was that we had so much that we're going to use Facebook and Instagram to release some side clips that'll just be for your entertainment that aren't, you know, related to Sunday. And so today our sermon topic is going to be avoid the root. And 2 hours in, we stopped for lunch, and it was pretty clear out of the gate that we were at varying levels of skill. And I just want to say that Lucas and Ben were at the, if we're ranking our particular group, they were at the professional level. Myself, I would say, was at the intermediate level. Josh would tell you, our worship leader, no skill, no survival. He would die if we left him out there. And so Hollis and Jono were at the novice to intermediate, but I don't think it ever like tackled any kind of terrain like this. Like paddling across a pond is different than a river that actually has some current. And so today is going to be a lesson somewhat at their expense, but they're good sports and they decided to bring this footage to us and sacrifice for the Lord. And so after we broke for lunch, we were looking at the first set of ripples, if you will, and there was a fork in the river. And it was 20 yards wide, 30 yards wide to the left, 20 yards wide to the right, and you could pick either path. And Ben and I were the lead canoe. We would go, and they could just follow our path. And so Ben and I shoot this little rapid, and then all of a sudden, I hear yelling, commotion. I turn around, and Jono and Hollis are down, all right? They're down. And apparently everything wasn't strapped in as good as we wanted it to be. And so what you're getting ready to see is a montage of both their first wreck and some subsequent wrecks that they had. And so I'm glad that we could bring this footage to you, and then we'll talk about how we can avoid the root in our own lives. So if you would, watch this with me.
Okay, reverse right. Reverse right, go.
Okay, boys, what happened?
We hit a root.
What were you guys trying to do?
We really focused on following the lead canoe, and we really needed to hit a
hard
straight.
And
it didn't work out for us. Hit that root.
Tumped over all of our gears.
Lost part of my sunglasses.
Lost part of my sunglasses in a chair.
But it is what it is. All part of the adventure.
Is this day one?
Day one. We're going to figure out how we're going to work, our ebb and flow, who's going to lead, who's going to follow, who's going to just paddle.
So what are you guys going to do differently next time?
Avoid the root. I think there's a life lesson there.
Yeah, we can give it up for these guys. We're going to post that online, and the more you watch it, the more you really appreciate it, is all I'm going to say. I'm the power and you're the steer. I like that one. That was one of my favorites. I'm the power, you're the steer. And so I don't even know what that means, but I just enjoyed it. And that one, you're just watching the tree slowly approaching, and the canoe just never turns. And so anyway, and if you watch that point where they're tumped over all their stuff, they had to get it out, repack it, and get the water out of their canoe, you'll see the choices that they had on either side of them. And so anyway, it was an amazing footage moment, because these are the things that we love about these trips, because we can't plan for them and they just happen. And we've done it enough to know now that lessons will unfold as we go on these incredible adventures. And so today I want to talk about avoiding the root. A root is something that is in your path that if you don't turn, if you don't steer, if you don't decide before you get to the moment where you can't decide, because many times when you're canoeing, you have to pick the line before you get too far into the current. And so if you don't avoid the root, it's going to lead to a crash. What we'll find on the river is that the current is constantly pulling you toward bad places. And if you allow the current of life to pull you, it will always cause you to crash. And so today I thought we would talk in this first part about what it means to avoid the root. In James chapter 1, James is a great book, easy read if you have time, but he said, don't blame God whenever you sin, because God can't tempt you. He says, when you're tempted, this is what happens. He says, your own lust, your own desire for what you want. Like, nobody makes you eat the ice cream at midnight, okay? Amen? I mean, that's not somebody else's fault. That's not work's fault. That's not your husband's fault. That's not your kid's fault. Not that it has to be a woman that's eating the ice cream. I'm just saying that nobody makes you do those things. The Bible says that when we sin, that we're drawn by our own lust, that there's something that is pulling us that is broken inside. And the Bible calls that a sin nature, that we have the propensity, the desire innately, no matter how we're brought up. If we're brought up in the best of all circumstances, we still, because of the fallenness of Adam and Eve, are born genetically with our predisposition toward sin. And so it says we are drawn away by our own lust and our own desire. We are enticed, we are pulled by the current of sin. And it says whenever you give rise to this, it gives birth to sin. And then if we allow sin to mature, when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. And not just physical death, but there are many things that are caused to die in our lives as a result of allowing sin to go unchecked. And so I thought about that, and I thought, how many examples do we have in the Bible of people that got caught in the current that led to a crash? And I guarantee you, if you've lived very long, you've experienced a crash in your life. Can I get an, if anybody else can relate to crashing. You see, when they crashed, Hollis lost, and like, it was funny, he had his glasses on, one of the lenses were out, and he lost his hat, and he lost his seat. And when you're going on a 5-day, 40-mile row through rapids and such, you gotta have more than just the little slat that goes across the canoe to keep your back from going out. And so it was getting ready to be 5 days because there was no turning back. There was no one to even call if we wanted to turn back at this juncture. And so it was getting ready to be a long trip. And one of the things I learned is that sometimes when you get caught in that current and it pulls you toward that crash, is that you can lose some things that you can't get back. We got out in that river and we searched diligently for that seat. I was waiting awkwardly, and there's boulders and there's current, and I look like a fool trying to find a Academy Stadium seat in the bottom of a river. And so we were out there trying to, and we never found one thing that we lost on that river. And so I thought, man, how can we avoid these crashes in our lives that cause us to lose things that we can't get back? Because it's better to just adjust the steering before you get there. And so many times we look back upon the crashes in our lives and we say, that could have been avoided. I knew I shouldn't have made that. I knew I should have listened. I knew that God even spoke to me not to go down that path. He gave me a path to follow, and I chose my own instead. And so I thought of three examples of people in the Old Testament that got caught up in the current. King Saul, whenever he was anointed, and we're not going to exhaust these this morning, but whenever he was anointed as king, he got caught up in the current of popularity. And he started caring more about what people thought than what God thought. Now I know that as adults, as mature adults, that no one in here ever struggles with caring about what people think. I mean, I know that you didn't like think about your outfit that everybody was gonna see when you went into church this morning. Some of you wives might be like mine, and you get caught up in what your husband's gonna look like too, so she has to make sure it all looks right. And you know, some of us get caught up in, I gotta go get the car washed before everybody sees it. I mean, some of us think about how we need to go into the office and how we need to project a certain image. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that if we're not careful, it's not that we shouldn't care about what people think because we want to present ourselves in a professional way or in a Christian way, but when you start thinking about what other people think more than what God thinks, it says that Saul got out of line and he disobeyed. And as a result of his disobedience, that current pulled him into a crash that cost him his crown. Imagine how devastating it would be if you went from nothing all the way to the crown, and then because you couldn't be obedient, you lost the very thing that God desired to give you. I thought about Samson. He had the worst kind of crash because he gave his heart to somebody and they broke it. I mean, if anybody in here has ever lost in love, then you should be able to relate to what a crash is. Very few people have been able to go through life without experiencing heartbreak or hurt at some point. And here was Samson, and he was disobedient to God as well, and he chose a woman outside of the parameters that God had set. And as a result of choosing the wrong woman that was outside of the parameters that God had set, the Bible says that it cost him his vision, that they ultimately plucked out his eyes. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be terrible if God had given you these incredible gifts, superhuman strength, to be able to deliver your people from their sin, your tribe from their sin, or deliver their tribe from their enemies, from the powers that would seek to oppress them? And if you lost your vision because of something that you could have avoided. Oh, Samson struggled with wanting a woman that was outside of what God preferred. And then I thought about Proverbs 24. This is a nameless person, but it's the current of complacency. Look at this verse. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. And the person that was blessed, all of a sudden, poverty comes upon them. It's like a thief in the night, out of nowhere. And I thought, comfort is often gained by discipline and diligence. In other words, you work hard to provide comfort for your family. But all of a sudden, you can get to a place of complacency, and that complacency will cost you your comfort. Man, I don't know if you've ever been through one of those situations. I know that I have. I know that I've gone through some ebbs and flows in life where you start feeling like, you know what? Everything's going pretty good. I'm just going to take it easy for a couple days. I'll take it easy for a couple of weeks. I don't know if you've ever been there. Maybe I'm the only person in here that thinks like this. And you think, you know what? It's been a hard week. It's been a hard couple. It's been a hard month. It's been a hard year. Whatever you want to say. And then you say, well, I'll just put it on autopilot for just a little bit. How long does it take if you are a manager for things to spin out of control when you take your eye off the prize? Anybody, can I get an amen? It doesn't take long. The natives will go crazy. I mean, there'll be things swinging from the chandelier and whatnot. I mean, you have to keep your eye on the prize. If you start allowing your children just to make their own decisions, that's dumb, all right? They will make the wrong decision. Can I get an amen? Like, you give them 10 decisions, 9 of them are awesome. They will find the one in the 10 that's like, oh, I thought that was the best one, Dad. And no. So your job as a parent is to provide guidance inside of those decisions. I don't want my kids, my family, my church, I don't want you to experience going into the collision or the crash that causes you to experience hurt and harm. I don't want you to lose the vision that God has given. I don't want you to lose the position that God intended for you to have. I don't want you to experience a life of poverty and want that is unnecessary because you got caught in the current of complacency. You see, there's things that we can do. There's things that we can put in place ahead of time that will allow us to avoid the root. Now, I don't know what the root is in your life, but when we watched all of this transpire from the outsider's point of view, it looked like it would have been simple to avoid. They even said we were going to follow the lead canoe, and then something went wrong. Can anybody relate to this? Have you ever like said, you know, okay, God says X, Y, Z, we're gonna follow what God says. And then like you look up one day, you wake up one day and you are way far afield from what God's word says. Like you aren't in church, you're not in community, you don't read your Bible. I mean, nothing is what you intended. Like you were like following and then all of a sudden you got distracted and the next thing you know, you're crashing and the next thing you know, you're losing things. Man, I'm here to tell you that if you will avoid the root, if you will stay out of the current, if you will follow the Bible, God says his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You don't have to end up in dark places. It is possible to avoid the root, but you have to decide today what you're going to do tomorrow. If you wait until tomorrow, then by the time you see it coming, because like when you're watching, right? When you're watching that first one, we made the little ding, and you see the tree, because like I was like, in my mind, I'm cheering them on, right? I'm like, turn. Even though I know it's going to happen, because I was like, turn, 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 turn. And how many times as a pastor do you see people's lives moving in the wrong direction? You see marriages moving in the wrong direction. You see parenting styles moving in the wrong direction. And you're sitting on the outside saying, turn, 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 turn. Before it's too late. The second half of this morning's message, I wanted to really camp out in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, there's a woman that has struggled with a sickness for 12 years. And it says that she was an unbeliever. So in her unbelieving state, we're going to find that she was doing all that she knew to do. And it says that she went from doctor to doctor, and it says that she suffered many things at the hands of many physicians. I don't know if you've ever got a bad diagnosis. I don't know if you've ever not gone after that second opinion, but I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you that doctors are fallible just like you, that it's always good to get a second opinion. And here this woman had moved from doctor to doctor, from person to person, from place to place. And it says, yet her situation was not bettered, but it was actually growing worse. It says that, in fact, she had spent all that she had. I don't know how devastating it must have been. In order for her to get to the end of her supply, her resource had now run out. And it says that she heard about Jesus. Now, I love Jesus. I don't know if y'all love Jesus. Can I get an amen for loving Jesus this morning? I don't know if y'all are excited as I am this morning, but it says that she heard about Jesus. Now, I want you to just to get the mind of the timing of the infinite, eternal God, that right at the moment that she had run out of her resources, right at the moment that she had hit rock bottom, this prophet, this vagabond nomad upstart from Nazareth, whom nobody had known much about until just a few short years ago, and this woman had heard about Jesus, but he happened to be walking by at just the right moment that she needed something to desperately happen in her life. Have you ever found that Jesus shows up right when you need him to? Can I get an amen on that? I mean, you should get excited about that. That right when you are at your bottom, Jesus has this incredible way of showing up and giving you an opportunity to turn it around. Well, two things that will close up this morning's message as I read this story, and we'll talk about how she interacted with Jesus and the touch at the end of the message. But I thought about effort without correcting our aim. What does it look like to have effort without correcting our aim? What does it look like when we are struggling without steering in a different direction? You see, as they were moving toward that tree, let's just watch that again. I think we have a shortened clip. I have to watch this again. Would y'all watch this again with me? Let's watch. Okay, there it is. Here it comes. I'll be the power. You steer. Here it comes. All right, bring the lights back up. Leave it there. I thought about this moment. They are putting forth max effort. I want you to know that. That if you could see the reverse view, they're like, I mean, it's not for lack of effort that they hit this tree and go over. All right. So I thought, wow, there's something in that. This woman, it's not for lack of effort that she's not being healed. It's not for lack of effort that she's not been set free from the thing that she's struggling with. She's putting forth all the effort that she knows how to put forth. You see, when we're outside of Jesus, we are limited in our options, and we can put forth all the effort. Some of you are professional effort givers. Can I get an amen if you know someone that's a professional? Like, they are just always like Johnny Hustle, all right? But when you take the sum total of their life, you have to ask yourself, if you have effort without aim, are you getting somewhere? At some point, you have to measure, is it improving? You know, some people are constantly turning over a new leaf. Some people are constantly trying a new self-help. Some people are constantly trying a new career, a new job. Some people are trying to constantly try a new relationship, a new hobby. And it's a constant try. It's a constant struggle. But I thought, effort without aim. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I do not run aimlessly. I do not throw punches as one who's just swinging wildly in the air. He says, I run to win. He says, every punch that I throw has purpose. And I thought, how many people are like this woman who had this struggle for 12 years, that their life is predicated on giving effort? They are trying as hard as they know how to try, but they are trying without experiencing transformation. Now, wouldn't it be terrible if you were putting forth all the effort in the world, all the effort, that you were struggling with all your might, but you were unable to steer in a different direction. I thought about those guys as that canoe is floating backwards down the river. And when I watched this clip for the first time when we got back, because I wasn't in their canoe, I thought that they were kidding. I thought that they were being sarcastic, because he was like, left reverse, hard, 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 right, forward, 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 go, go, go. Dude, we got to get this thing spun around. What's going on here? It's like I thought Jono was kidding. But they were legitimately struggling to turn the thing around. And I thought about this woman. Here she was, 12 years of struggle, 12 years of trying without experiencing any transformation in her situation. I thought, what level of frustration, what level of fatalism, what level of doom did she surrender in her mind that her life was committed to? As a matter of fact, having not known Jesus, she probably said, if there was a God in this world, I don't want to know him, because why would he allow this to happen to me? And then she heard about Jesus. And then she heard about Jesus. And she said, if I could just get to Jesus, even though I don't know him, I've heard about him, and if I could just get to Jesus and reach out and touch the hem of his garment, I believe there's something in me that's drawing me to him. I believe that there's something that's in Jesus that's different. You see, when you get to the end of your effort, when you get to the end of your capacity, and you're willing to reach a certain way, because as all these people were bumping into Jesus and this woman touches him and power goes out and he heals this woman, Jesus says, someone has touched me. And his disciples didn't understand the reach of desperation. And they said, Jesus, there are all these people crowded around you. There's all these people bumping into you. There's all these people touching you. And you want us to find the one person out of this crowd of 1,000? I started thinking, how is it that she received something that all those other people didn't get? How is it all those other people were around Jesus, touching Jesus, and yet not feeling the effects of Jesus? Are you telling me it's possible that you could walk into a church, that you could be in a crowd of believers, that Jesus could be in the house and there could be 1,000 people in his midst, and his desire is for them all. His desire is his availability is for them all, and yet some will receive while some will not. Why is that? Why is that? I thought there's a certain type of reach that affects the heart of God. And until we get to the place where we reach a certain way, we should not expect to receive any certain thing. You see, she reached out in desperation. When you reach the point of desperation, you realize that you've tried everything that you know to try. What do? When we've tried all that we know and it didn't work? Where do you turn when you don't know what to do? I'm telling you that she heard about Jesus. She said, if I could just touch him, I believe something could change. So she reached out in desperation. She reached out in surrender. You see, she acknowledged, I need God to help me because I can't help myself. Some of you are on the pride ride this morning, and you struggle with asking anybody for help, even God. Wouldn't it be awful if you were trying to be self-sufficient? I'm telling you right now, life is going to put you in some situations where you look as silly as John Owen Hollis trying to turn around a canoe, and we all sit there and go, well, I could have done that. I guarantee you, there's people struggling in this room right now to turn it around. You're giving it all you got. You're struggling. You're trying. But if you want to experience transformation, you're going to have to reach a different way. It's going to be different than you thought it would be. You see, she thought that she could be healed by doing the things that she knew to do. But the solution set was outside of the original options that were on the table. You see, if you want to experience God, it's very likely going to be different than the way you thought it was going to be. So she reached out of desperation. She reached out and surrendered and said, God, I need help. And then the last thing is that she reached out believing. She reached out believing. Some of you struggle with believing that God can, believing that God would. Some of you have so much guilt that you say, why would God ever do something for me? And here in this moment of desperation, here in this moment of surrender, it says that she reached out and she transferred her trust, right? She said, I realize I can't save myself. I realize I can't spend my way out of the suffering that I am in. And so she reached out and she transferred her trust to Jesus Christ. She said, I have to transfer my trust in order to experience the transformation that my trying cannot experience or cannot procure transformation. The only thing that can experience transformation is when I reach out and believe and transfer my trust to Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now that if you're struggling this morning to turn it around, that there's only one person that I found in life that can make things right. There's only one person that I've found that can give counsel that you need in your darkest hour. There's only one person that I found that is able to take someone who is grieving and give them hope. There's only one person I found that could pick up the pieces of Samson's broken heart and put it back together and allow him to be used greater in his end than he ever was in his beginning. What I'm trying to say is, if you've heard about this guy named Jesus and you've figured out that your effort is not enough to turn it around, that you've tried all that you know to try, that just one time would you get to the place of desperation. One time would you get to the place that you say to yourself, I must reach out believing that he can do something that I cannot do for myself. And I guarantee you, Jesus Christ has never disappointed. Would you guys pray with me? Father, we come before you. God, we desire for everyone in here to experience transformation, that they would reach out this morning in such a way that they would get to the place that they are desperate enough that they want to see you, God. They want to experience you. They know that they need you in order to experience life change. I pray that we would put down our pride and we'd say, God, we've done all that we can do, and yet it hasn't changed. And so, God, we confess. We confess our stubbornness. We confess that we just won't let go of the steering wheel. God, we confess that we've experienced many crashes because we got caught in the current. And God, we bring it before you. We lay it at your feet. And God, we're just asking for your forgiveness. We're asking for life. God, we pray these things in your name. I want you to bring the last verse up in Mark chapter 5. It says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Be freed from your suffering. I don't know what it is you have this morning. I don't know what's tormenting you, but I can tell you this, there's one place that you can go for freedom. How incredible would it be that you suffered with something all your life of caring more about what people thought than what God thought, or choosing the wrong people to give your heart to, or becoming lazy and complacent when you need to be driven and passionate for the things of God, for your family, for your children. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this. I can tell you this beyond a shadow of a doubt. that it's Jesus Christ that can make the difference. Wouldn't it be awesome if there were some people that have been suffering for years from things, that they would reach out in desperation and that God would reach back and say, be freed from your suffering today. Would you guys stand with us as we worship?